We are going to read from Matthew's gospel. That gospel begins with words of a genealogy. Do you remember that? That list of all of those hundreds of people that, well, it wasn't hundreds, but it was many people who were related to Jesus. There are these stories about his birth and life, and then shortly after that, we meet John the Baptist, and we hear about Jesus being baptized, and then we hear about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and we begin to hear these stories of the successes in his ministry. And then suddenly in chapter 5, what a lot of people call the greatest sermon of all time begins to be preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And today, we want to read the blessings, or we call them often in our translations of the Bible, the Beatitudes. These are the blessings which Jesus shared in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the side of a mountain and sat down. Jesus' disciples gathered around him and he taught them. God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. God blesses those people who are humble. The earth will belong to them. God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. God blesses those people who are merciful. They will be treated with mercy. God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. They will see him. God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people insult you, mistreat you, and tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be happy and excited. You will have a great reward in heaven. People did these same things to the prophets who lived long ago. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I was on Facebook a couple of weeks ago now. Can you see that little picture up there on the screen? Can anybody tell me who that is? Anybody know? Garth Brooks, that's right. So I was on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and I know some of you don't know much about Facebook, but one of the things that happens is people ask to be your friend on Facebook. And in my list of friend requests was Garth Brooks. I think my blood pressure went up when I saw that. And let me tell you now that there's some, you know, Michelle said when I told her, I think that he was hacked. You said Garth Brooks got hacked. I'm from Oklahoma, and that's where Garth Brooks is from, too. And let me tell you a little story. Back when Garth was first starting out, and I was trying to remember. I mean, my impression of that time, I mean, he was like a high school age kid. He was appearing at the Lazy E Arena to sing, very close to that. That is where, when the National Finals Rodeo was held in Oklahoma, that's where it was at that arena. He was singing there in the restaurant. And close by there was the camp where I grew up, and I was a counselor at the Easter Seals summer camp. We took all the kids over to the arena. Some of them got to ride horses and listen to Garth Brooks sing and meet him. I met Garth Brooks back then, so I wondered if that was, you know, if he remembered me. And he was asking to be my friend. And I wondered for a minute, maybe Garth knows that I play a little bit of guitar and he wants me to sit in with him, right? I mean, I just wondered for a second if that might be. And then, you know, I looked more closely at this friend request, and I realized that it wasn't really a friend request, that Garth was asking me if I wanted to be his fan and like his page. I wondered, what would it involve to be a fan of Garth Brooks? Would I have to learn all of the tabs to his songs so I could play them all, you know? If I become Garth Brooks' fan, do I have to learn his life story so that I can share that, you know, with other people whenever I meet them? But I didn't really think I had time to do all those things. And you and I both know how ridiculous it was of me to think that Garth Brooks remembered me or picked me out to be his friend. Why would a famous person want to be my friend? I like Facebook, but I have somehow ended up with a lot of friends on Facebook that I don't even know. People who over time had asked to be my friend, and I clicked on the confirmation button and they became my friend, but I really don't know them. And maybe that's how Jesus feels too. All right? Lots of people ask to be Jesus' friend, and then he confirms them, and they never give him another thought. Lots of people claim to be his friend, and they really are barely acquainted with Jesus, and they don't know anything about his life or his story or his teachings, and they're not really willing to live by those teachings. Matthew's version of these blessings or beatitudes has this overriding message that Jesus doesn't really want you to be his fan, okay? Jesus is looking for friends and disciples, not fans. Even more than any of the other Gospels, Matthew wants to make clear to us that if you're going to be a friend and a disciple, you're going to have to follow the teachings of Jesus. And that is stressed over and over. And all of these things, you know, made me wonder how difficult, how hard is it really to live by all of these teachings that Jesus had. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that it's not going to be easy, you know, to be a friend and a disciple. Jesus, in this story, is just like the second Moses. I mean, this is why Matthew lays the story out this way. Jesus goes up on a mountain to tell you the new law. Who else went up on the mountain? Moses did. Jesus is the second Moses, and the story of Moses is Moses got this new law and he wrote it on stone. But Jesus went up on the mountain to give you the new law and he wants to write it on your heart, not on stone. Maybe you didn't realize that this list of blessings was a new law because, you know, it's not do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. It's not like that at all. It is, it's about the paradoxes of life. That's what the Beatitudes are about. It's about not black and white, but about the gray area that we all live in. Jesus wants to know if you can live the same way he did, openly and courageously. He wants to know if you can be a better person than all of these religious leaders who've had the Torah all of this time and never did figure out what it was really all about. Jesus wants to know if you can live life to the fullest, if you can be open to your neighbors, if you can share the things that you have, if you can love instead of despise and hate. If you can do all these things, you're already in the kingdom that Jesus has come to prepare and to teach about. Matthew wants you to know that the Sermon on the Mount is a definitive interpretation of the Jewish law, the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. And Moses got that on Mount Sinai, and Jesus has come to another mountain today, not to cancel that law, but to make sure that you really understand it. For Matthew, Jesus fulfills the Torah. Matthew tells you that directly later on in chapter 5. Now, this isn't a historic record of the greatest sermon of all time or a great speech or a bunch of philosophical abstractions. This is a code of behavior. This is how the new community of faith is going to be built, by all of you going out and living by the blessings, the Beatitudes. Not living according to the status quo, but reshaping the world. The goal is not to have a bunch of social protest and disorder, but to eventually just change everybody and everything in the world. It will not be a community of fans. It will be a community of friends and disciples. And that means that we are not going to be able to be fans of Jesus. We are going to have to begin to live by these laws that Jesus taught us. We are going to have to become friends and disciples. Because the Beatitudes are not a list of what we should not do. They're a list of how to live when we are genuine followers of Jesus. It is a roadmap of how to do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. It is the actual and true and easy way to fish for people. It is the awesome and incredible understanding of what a table of hospitality would really look like when we share what we have. Because fans of Jesus, they admire the sermon. They like the idealism that's in the sermon, and they understand the spirit of sacrifice that Jesus is talking about. But, you know, when it's over, they just go live their life the way they want. But the friends and disciples of Jesus, they keep spreading that love and sharing and peace and the openness and listening to each other. Fans of Jesus, they just go to church on Sunday and they don't really share their faith any other time during the week. But the friends, the disciples of Jesus, they invite their friends over. They pray in front of them. They tell stories about how God has blessed their life. And I know that you are all getting the picture of this and understanding. I know you do. And so I just ask you to ask God just to help you on your journey from moving from being a fan of Jesus to being a friend and a disciple. Amen. Amen.